I know you were wondering, is he going to do it? Is he that stupid? The answer is, I might be. Now, if you remember, Brother Davis was here a few weeks ago. And he did something. You know, he had socks. He had special socks on. They were Tom and Jerry socks. And he stood here and he put his foot right here. And I was sitting over there and I'm like, how did he do that? Can I do that? And so I've been thinking about this. I even measured this the other night. I come up after it was over. See, people pulling out their phones already. Yeah, I come up the other night as soon as he was done, and I put my foot up here, but nobody was watching, and I made sure of that. And I also told my son, don't leave the auditorium, because if I get up there and I can't get my leg back down, you're going to have to help. Yeah, and I'm like, and I told him, I said, I can't believe you did that. Yeah, I'm like, but if you can do it, I can do it. And so I've been thinking about this, and I measured it. And all the time I'm thinking about it, I got this little voice in the back of my mind going, don't be stupid. You know, you're being recorded. It's one thing to be stupid when you're not being recorded. It's another thing to be stupid when you're being recorded because people go back and watch your stupidity. Now, there's a few times in my life I've done stupid stuff. When I was teaching down in Pensacola, they had a fundraiser for a missionary. And whichever of the teachers, like five of us that agreed for some reason, well, whichever one of them, the students put the most money in their jug, had to teach school wearing a tutu, a tiara, and a wand. And I'm like, it ain't gonna be me, but my jug was filling up. Nobody else's was, you know, I saw other teachers putting money in my jug. I'm like, that's not going to work. So I was like, fine, I'm going to wait till the day it is. I'm going to find out how much is in them other jugs, and I'll just run to the bank. Well, I said, I'll write a check, and then they tell me we don't take checks. I'm like, fine, I'll go to the bank at lunch. They blocked my car in. They put a vehicle. So I lost that one. And so I wound up teaching. And that was a lot. That was the last stupid thing I've ever done. So I thought, okay. I even told Brother Davis. I said, you know, he said, I'm going to watch you. He said, they'll record it. I'm going to watch you to see if you actually do it. So I've been looking at this, and I measured it off. I've been practicing. Now, my guardian angel says, if you do that, I'll quit. He said, I'll quit. I'm leaving, you know. And I'm like, and the voice said, don't be stupid. Don't do this, you know. Don't do it. So I worked on it. I thought about it. And my conclusion was, if he can do it, I can do it. Or at least I can do something close to it. So I worked on it, and I come up with this. Yeah, there it is. That's the closest it's going to get. Sorry, Brother Davis, you got me beat. Yeah. I'm like, I had to go dig that out of storage. Y'all see me trying to find that last night. Yeah, but I'm like, I can't do it. I'm going to get up there, get hung, or something worse is going to happen. Get my leg up there, get a cramp, and try to, you know, do the rest of my lesson with a cramp in my leg or something, hopping around on stage. So I'm sorry, he wins that one. He got that challenge, and he beat me on it, so... But, you know, that's what happens when you're 30 years younger than I am. You know, but I'm still going to work on that. One of these days, I'm going to figure out and I'm going to be able to do it. We'll see about that one. So, okay, enough of that. This morning, we are going to finish my lesson that I started several weeks ago with don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. And Pastor, you know, he kind of led into this. And we're going to be in Jeremiah. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 26, if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles. But Pastor was talking the last couple of weeks about Jeremiah. And I'm like, no. Don't go too far. Don't get on my lesson, you know. Otherwise, I'm about to come up with another one. Because when I first came up with this, it was like 15 pages long. And I didn't figure y'all wanted to stay here through lunch. And so this is Don't Shoot the Messenger, part two. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you so much for the day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together and worship you, Lord, and look into your word. We just ask that you would help us, give us some direction this morning as we look into this account in the life of Jeremiah. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, when we last considered the don't shoot the messenger lesson, we compared the faithful messenger to the wicked messenger. And we examined the qualifications. What makes a faithful messenger a faithful messenger? And we said a faithful messenger is one who is always available and ready to receive the message. He is dependable to go to the ones to whom the message is sent and he's trustworthy to deliver the message without delay and deliver the message just the way that he received it from his master. So a faithful messenger delivers the message. He accepts the message. He delivers the message exactly the way he received it. Then we looked at the dangers of the wicked messenger. The wicked messenger doesn't deliver the right message to the right person at the right time. You know, and so by not doing that, or by doing what the wicked messenger does, mischief results. Harm, evil, damage results because the messenger wasn't faithful. He altered the message. He changed the message. He wanted to make the message more palatable. He just didn't deliver the message as it was intended to be delivered. And then we concluded by urging you, if you're not the messenger, to be Onesiphorus, to encourage the faithful messenger. So today, we will continue with our theme of don't shoot the messenger. But today, we're going to focus on the reaction to the message and our attitude toward our faithful messenger. Jeremiah is who we're looking at this morning. Jeremiah was a major prophet in the Old Testament. He was sent by God to wake up the people of Israel. He was to wake up the people of Judah. You know, the people who claimed to be children of God, he was sent to them to wake them up. The problem was that the children of Judah were worshiping false gods. They had placed idols in the temple courtyard. You know, God says, there shall be no other gods before me. Well, if you went to the temple, you would pass altar to a fake god after altar to a fake god after an altar to a fake, and you could worship all those fake gods on your way into the temple to worship Jehovah. And God would be like, what's the point? You know, no, you don't worship any other god but me. Yeah, I'm not going to be the last one on your list. I'm not going to share your worship with any of those fake gods. And so they had placed these idols in the courtyard of the temple itself. They even had an altar not very far down the road from the temple upon which children were burned as sacrifices to pagan gods. You know, to the pagan god the altar was honoring. It could have been Asherah, could have been Moloch. I think it was Moloch. You know, and so they had built this altar. They were so disobedient. They were not doing, they were going directly against what God had taught them to do. So the Lord sent Jeremiah to preach the message of repentance. And Jeremiah had only one word to give them if they refused to repent. His one word was destruction. You either repent or face destruction. So let's begin this morning by reading Jeremiah chapter 26, and we'll start in verse 8. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. So our first point this morning is, being a faithful messenger isn't an easy job. Now, have any of you ever been in a situation where you said, hey, don't shoot the messenger, I'm just the messenger? You know, whatever the message is, it's not the fault of the messenger. The messenger didn't write it. It's not their message. All they're doing is delivering the message to you. And so there may be times where even you go, hey, don't shoot the messenger. Yeah, I may be the bearer of bad news, but I'm not the messenger. I didn't write the message. If you don't like the message, then go to its source and take it out on the source. I know teaching school a few years back, I was discussing an issue, and one of the students said, are you saying that, you know, my mom and dad do that? Are you saying they are wrong? And I'm like, I'm not saying anything. I'm just the messenger. I'm just telling you what God said. If you got a problem with that, take it up with God. You know, I'm just the messenger here. You know, if you don't like the message, go to a source, go to the source, and take it out on the source. This is the situation in which the prophet Jeremiah found himself. Now, many times he was treated as if he were the author of the message. And the reaction to the message that Jeremiah preached was usually anger, hostility, and even threats on his life. For example, Pashur, he's the son of the priest. After one of the messages of Jeremiah, Pashur walks up and slaps the prophet. He just walks up and slaps him in the next week. And then he has him put into stocks. He has him put in the stockade. Why? He didn't like the message. King Jehoiakim, at one point, reads the message. Jeremiah has bothered to sit down, write it out, or he had someone write it out for him. You know, he writes it out, sends the message. Jehoiakim gets it. King Jehoiakim read the message, pulls out his knife, and cuts the message up, and then tosses the whole thing in the fire. Why? He didn't like the message. At one point, Jeremiah was thrown into prison. Look at chapter 38 of the book of Jeremiah. Look at chapter 38 of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4. Therefore the princess said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand. For the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Here are the princes of Judah. They take these are the leaders of Judah. They take Jeremiah with the permission and the blessing of the king and threw the prophet into a dungeon. Now, they intended for the prophet to drown. They intended, you know, they put him in the dungeon. They intend for him to drown in the water. But since the dungeon was just full of mud, they went ahead and threw him in, expecting him to die slowly in the mire. Now, can't you just imagine Jeremiah at this point? If you've been through all of this, what would your reaction be? You know, look, I'm just the spokesman. Your quarrel isn't with me, but it's with the one who sent me. Take it up with him if you want to. I didn't create this problem. I have merely told you the truth about the problem. And trying to silence me, throwing me in a pit, killing me, whatever you want to do to me, you know, won't make the truth go away. The message will still be the same. All I am is the messenger. Do with me what you want to, but that does not change the message. You know, it was enough to make Jeremiah want to get out of the messenger business. You know, he pleaded with the Lord at one point. Early on, he pleads with the Lord to release him. I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be the messenger. You know, and God says, no. Jeremiah had been called. He had a message to tell, and he had no option. He was unable to hold back the word of the Lord. He had to go. He had to deliver the message. Now, today, we're reading this passage, and we read of how the people of Judah treated this servant of the Lord, this faithful messenger. We read this, and we look at how they treated Jeremiah, and we go, oh, those horrible Hebrews. How dare they treat Jeremiah? How dare they treat their preacher that way? How dare they? They should be ashamed. But don't we get upset with the messenger when he delivers a message that we prefer not to hear? Isn't the reason that people sometimes want to kill the messenger is because they bring harsh, difficult messages? Jeremiah's message was one of confrontation and accusation. You know, charging the Israelites with repeatedly failing to obey God's law. God says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. God says, don't worship idols. Look at your idols. They're everywhere. You got altars built to every possible fake god there was in Canaan. He said, look at them. You know, and so his message was, you know, if you don't quit doing this, if you don't get your heart right with God, he's going to destroy you. That was his message. It was simple. It was straight. But it wasn't Jeremiah's message. It was God's message. You know, and so he has confrontation. He has accusation. They repeatedly refused, the children of Judah, repeatedly refused to listen to Jeremiah's words. They refused to listen to any of the prophet's words. And Jeremiah points that out. He said, you know, you've been sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, and you don't listen to nobody. You know, no, that's kind of the snow version. You don't listen to nobody. If you don't get your heart right, if you don't repent, God's going to destroy you. And what do they want to do? They want to destroy Jeremiah. These words had to sting. And I doubt seriously when Jeremiah is talking about destruction that he's saying it with a smile on his face. You know, there are times when you can't smile. You know, occasionally pastor has to deliver a message, you know, and he can't smile when he makes the delivery. Pastor knows that the message is going to sting. He knows some will probably get mad. He knows they will stare a hole through him. But he is a faithful messenger, and he delivers the message exactly as it was given to him by the Holy Spirit. He knows it's going to hurt. He knows it's going to, as we would say, step on some toes. You know, he knows it's not going to be pleasant to hear. He mentioned it the other night. He said, you know, we're going to cover it. It's not going to be pleasant for some people. Yeah, but we're going to cover the book of Jeremiah. And he knows that people are going to get mad. And what do? You know, we stare a hole through, you know, we close our Bible. And from up here, you can see that. And oh, you're going, I ain't closing my Bible then ever again. You know, not until after we say amen and people are walking out, I'll never close my Bible again. But from up here, you know, it's interesting to see, because something can be said and the Bible's closed and it's like, I'm going to stare you down. You know, and that's the reaction. Why you get mad at the messenger? The message is from God. It's not from pastor. It's through pastor, but it's from God. Be thankful for a faithful messenger. Now, what does it mean to be thankful for a faithful messenger? Here I'm going to meddle. No. That means you stand behind him and you support him when other people try to attack him. You know he's your faithful messenger. You know what he's saying comes from God. You read it in God's word. So when he gets up and preaches and somebody gets mad about it, they want to talk to you about him, go, you know what? I'm standing behind pastor. I know pastor. That means you don't allow others to criticize him unjustly. You know, someone wants to talk to you about the pastor. You go, wait a minute. I don't want to hear this conversation. I'm not in this conversation. That means that you don't criticize him unjustly. You give him the benefit of the doubt because you know he has been a faithful messenger. You don't listen to someone else criticize the faithful messenger. You read in the Bible what God said. Pastor's just telling you. He's the messenger. You know, a lot of times, you know, people want to talk. They want to come to you and talk. Well, you know, call you up on the phone or whatever. I was teaching school one year, and I had this lady. She never comes to my classroom. She's a fellow teacher. She never came to my classroom. She showed up in my classroom after school one day, walked in the door, started talking. I'm like, yeah, I know why you're here. But I didn't say anything. And she went on and on and on talking about the principal. She, you know, the principal doing this and this and this and this and all this. And then after probably 5 minutes, she says, "Now, this is just between me and you, right?" I went, "Uh-uh." I said, "As soon as you walk out that door, I'm going to the principal. And I'm going to ask him if the accusations that you made against him are true. And if they are, we got to do something about that. But if they're not, he's probably going to call you in and ask you a few questions." You know? But you know what? You don't come in and just start making accusations about someone who's not here to defend themselves. You know, when someone wants to criticize the pastor or criticize pastor because they don't like the message, then, you know, the right thing is to say, "You know what? I don't want to hear this conversation. If you've got a problem, we'll call him in or we'll go meet with him so that he can defend himself." But you stand behind him. You support him because you know he's been a faithful messenger. Now, it may be that you don't know all the details, but you had a knee-jerk reaction to a rumor and you jumped on the wrong side. Be careful how you react to those who criticize the faithful messenger. If someone comes in and wants to talk about pastor, don't jump on, "Oh, he should not have said that. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he..." He may not have done any of that, but you don't know. And so by not knowing, you jump on the wrong side. Now, you've been criticizing the faithful messenger, and that's a really dangerous situation. Because the false messenger in Jeremiah, the false messenger, the wicked messengers, had a different message. Their message was, "Oh, you're all okay with God, you know, because you're God's chosen people. And it's no wonder that God chose you, because you're all such good people anyway. Y'all are just good church-going people. Let's all just join hands and sing Kumbaya. Yeah, let's all join hands because we are perfect. God loves us. He would never, we are his church. He would never do anything to us." You know, the people loved that message. It was false. The message was completely false. But the messenger, you know, and the messengers were wicked. But the people loved the message. Does that still work today? You better believe it. So many people love to hear the fake message from the fake messengers that you could have 30,000 people in attendance on a Sunday morning and you name your church after something that sounds like a saddle on the back of a horse. Yeah. Or you may have so many people attend that you could fill up the old Houston Astrodome. Now, I didn't mention any names, so I'm fair. Yeah. But it's a fake message. It's not, some of you are looking around like, "Who's he talking about? I'll tell you after church if you ask." Yeah, yeah, but isn't that, it's a fake message, and people flock to hear the fake message. Why? Because you got tinkling ears, never mind. Yeah, you just want somebody to pacify you. You want to hear a message that's sweet, lovable. "Oh, you're so good. God is so blessed to have you as his child." And so that's what we like. We don't want to hear the tough messages. We don't want to hear the hard messages. You know, we just want to have someone pat us on the head like a good puppy dog and say, "You're so sweet." You know, when Jeremiah spoke, they literally decided to kill the messenger. They told him, "You got to die. You must die for what you're saying." Jeremiah 26:11, "Then spake the priest and the prophets, this man is worthy to die because he hath prophesied against the city." Now notice this. He isn't charged with blasphemy. He's not charged with, they say, you need to die because you've blasphemed God. He's not charged with lying. They don't say, "You must die because you're telling lies and you're using God's name." Instead, the charge amounts to, "Your words made me feel bad. You hurt my feelings." Now, the Jews of Jeremiah's time would fit perfectly into society today. What greater crime can be committed in today's America than to hurt someone's feelings by speaking the truth of God's word to them? You ought to be ashamed. It's sinful for you, sir, to put on a blue wig and makeup and put on a pink dress and go out and read books to kids. It's sinful. It's an abomination. "You hurt my feelings. I'm a snowflake." Now I need to, I know they use the word snowflake. I'm personally offended by that. But I'm a snowflake. Now I need a safe place so I can suck my thumb. You know, and then they get angry. And what do they say? Those people must be silenced and condemned for their hate speech. You criticize my lifestyle choice. You deserve to die. They ought to put you in prison. It's hate speech. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your position. We're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. Isn't that what happens in America today? Yeah, you preach the word of God. God's thus saith the Lord. And the world says, we don't like that message. We don't like that. You know, you need to die. You need to be shut down. We need you to shut your mouth. And if you won't do it, we'll shut it for you. Here's the problem. It's not just those people out there who respond in this way to God's messengers. We are tempted to act like that. We are tempted to act just like the Israelites did when God sent Jeremiah to speak to them. You know, not everything we read in the Bible is going to be comforting and cheerful. It is, however, all true. Not everything we hear from the pulpit is going to give us a warm, fuzzy feeling. But if we have a good Bible-based pastor, a faithful messenger, it needs to be heard. Not everything the Holy Spirit tells us is going to be approving, but it will be edifying. Not everything God instructs us to do will be easy, but it will be worthwhile. Now, God sends us warnings. God sent Jeremiah to Jerusalem so that the people of Jerusalem wouldn't have to suffer the wrath of God. Rather than ignoring, persecuting, frowning at, talking badly about, or killing God's messengers, we would be better off listening to them and heeding their words. Jeremiah wasn't there just to hear himself speak. You know, the idea was, I'm going to preach, you listen, you repent, and God won't destroy you. You know, it's kind of a good lesson to hear. Now, our second point, sort of, it is not the message itself that causes the problem. It's how we react. You know, when the Lord sends a messenger to tell us that it's a sin to despise God's word by failing to regularly hear God's word, we say, or at least we think, I've been a member of this church a lot longer than he has. You know, we attack the messenger. When the Lord sends a messenger to tell us that if we continue to live unrepentantly in a particular sin, we will be under God's judgment. Aren't we tempted to think, wow, that was really rude. I can't believe the tone, a voice that he used when he was talking to me. I can't believe that. Now, when the Lord sends us a messenger to tell us that we are living in sin, aren't we tempted to think, yeah, well, like you've never sinned before. Yeah, isn't that sort of a reaction? Well, you know, that's like the pot calling the kettle black. You've never sinned before, so you're going to point out a sin in my life. All too often, we think that if we can find some way to attack the messenger, it makes the message invalid. But when the message comes from God, what we think about the messenger, whether we think he was rude, whether he was actually rude, whether he is beyond reproach, whether he's committed, and this is not pastor, okay, but whether he's committed enough sins in his past to make Paul reconsider whether he's been replaced as the chiefest of sinners. It's like, you know what, I know how you grew up, and you did this and 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 this. You know, who are you to point out a sin in my life? You know, whether the messenger is so wet behind the ears that he spent fewer years alive than you've spent in the real world. You know, he's just too young. How dare he tell you? You've got 30 years on him. Whether the messenger is so old and out of touch that they think a search engine is a type of train. Don't laugh. Okay. So, you know, some of my students would put me into that category. You're so old. You're so out of touch. You know, I can mention somebody in class and they look at me who? I'm like, okay, there's a generation gap here. Yeah. But when the message comes from God, none of what we think about the messenger matters. When the message comes from God, the message stands on its own, for it is the truth. The third thing, if we are the messengers, we need to make sure the message is from God and not from us. We better be able to tell our hearers that we have spoken God's words and not our own words. If we present as God's word something that God hasn't really said, we're no better off than the false prophets at the time of Jehovah. But when we as pastors, Sunday school teachers, parents, spouses, Christian friends speak from God's word, when someone cares enough to confront you over sin, and they speak from God's word, and we say confidently that, as did Jeremiah, the Lord has sent me to speak all these words, it would do us to listen. We may not like the message, but we should listen, because the words, the message, is coming from God. When we hear God's messengers, whether or not we disregard their message, the warnings of the message are still true because they come from God. The people of Judah didn't want to listen to Jeremiah. They slapped him in the face. They threw him in the stockade. They threw him in a pit. They did everything they could to him. They didn't like the message. But did it change the message? You know the end of this story? Picture a bunch of Jews in chains walking out of Jerusalem headed for Babylon. That was the end result. They didn't listen. They didn't like the message, so they ignored the messenger. Long walk from Jerusalem to Babylon. Bet you had a whole lot of time to think about the message. Bet you wish you hadn't slapped him. Bet you wish you hadn't thrown him in the stockade. I bet you wish you'd listened to him. Because if you'd listened to him, might not be in chains walking at a really slow pace across a really hot desert with a whole bunch of people. And you're probably halfway through the end of the line, so the dust is really bad. You know, all they had to do was listen. The message was from God. Whether they listened to Jeremiah or not did not change the message. The message was repent or face destruction. They didn't repent because they didn't like Jeremiah, so they faced destruction. Don't argue with the message. To argue with the message sent from God is to argue with God himself. Instead, we should hear the call to repentance. We should humble ourselves before the Lord. To ignore God's messengers would be doubly tragic, because not only do they bring God's true warning, they bring you a warning from God, but they also bring God's sure promises. If you don't repent, this is what you're going to face. If you do repent, God won't destroy you. So there's a promise there. Yeah, but if you just don't like the messenger, you don't like what the messenger had to say, then you miss the warning and you miss the promise. That's why God sends his messengers, that we might heed their warnings and their calls to repentance, and that we might also hear their promises. God does not announce his condemnation of and his punishment for sin because he wants people to suffer it. He doesn't say, hey, listen, if you don't quit worshiping them idols, if you don't quit worshiping them false gods, if you don't quit doing what you're doing, I'm going to destroy you. He doesn't do it because he's like, yeah, this is what's coming down the road. I can't wait. You know, it's going to be fun to watch, but this is what you got coming. No, he does that to warn you. He does that to help you to not face the consequence, because he wants you to repent and avoid the punishment. He doesn't send his warning just because, hey, doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to punish you anyway. That's not the way God works. He sends his warning so that you can avoid the punishment and enjoy his blessing. We'll end with this, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Stand with me, if you will, with your head bowed. Look, yeah, it may be that you've gotten angry with pastor. It may be that you've gotten angry with an evangelist that come through. It may be that you got angry with the Holy Spirit. You didn't like what the Holy Spirit showed you. And your reaction was, you got angry at the messenger. Yeah, this morning, yeah, would be a good time, as Miss Joe plays, this morning would be a good time to ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you to realize, hey, it's not the messenger's fault. You sent a message. I need to listen to the message. And you might ask God to forgive you for the times that you've gotten mad at the messenger. You've gotten mad at the messenger and you've missed what God's tried to tell you. Maybe this would be a good time to ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me because I haven't listened to the message because I've been so focused on the messenger. If that's you, God says, all you have to do is repent. Just ask for forgiveness. I'm there. I'm there to forgive you. All you have to do is ask me. Yeah. And the next time I send you a message, listen. Listen.